Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, right on. Okay, thanks for tuning in tonight. This is Teresa with Black Hour Radio. The last day of the month of January 2016, reclaim MLK. Let's reclaim the king. So happy that, you know, the show has, you know, just really been received. I was looking at the stats prior to logging on and everything, and it's really good to see that, like, we've had over 684 people listen. And we haven't even had a full month of episodes, so that just really makes me feel, like, super excited. So, yeah, it's a trip. Just want to go ahead and I'm trying to figure out some stuff that I'm looking at on the studio. Like, what is it telling me? But, yeah, tonight I'm going to have a caller that's calling in, and that's Kendra Payton. She's going to be my co-host again. She's calling in. She's my cousin that was living out in North Dakota in Fargo. And I asked her to go ahead and share with me some things that are on her mind. You know, she's a single mom that lives in the community. She has five children. And, you know, she has a lot of interesting things to talk about. And I like getting her perspective on things because it lets us know that being inside of the political system as an activist, you have to connect with the people. Connecting with the people is where you find the solution for a lot of these issues. No leadership can ever call itself solid or effective if it's not getting direction from the people that it's meant to serve. And I can't say that enough. So I just want to make sure that we give shout-outs to community leaders like Kendra and other parents that speak up and speak out and continue doing that, because there is somebody that will take your voice to the next level. Activists need your voices to inspire our actions. You might not be on the front line. Kendra's never been to any of our protests or rallies, and I think that's going to change in the future. But at the same time, she's fighting the same struggle, and so getting those different perspectives on our recap is going to be great. And tonight's show is a recap of this month's actions and a renewed focus towards the 2016 elections, and it's centering around economics, race, and solutions. And so what we're talking about is basically the 2016 elections are here. You know, we're going into February. May's coming up pretty soon. Everybody register to vote. If you're in Oregon, there's a voter situation where you can elect to register when you get your license. But if you haven't and you already, you know, if you have any question, just go online and check it out. Huh?
Post-primary.
Yeah. They're closing pretty soon. I don't know.
We have closed primary, so you have to check the party.
Yeah. All you saying, bring it up, huh? Yeah, we'll do that. But no, check out your Secretary of State website and check out the dates on the calendar for elections. There's an election calendar on every state's website. So what you need to do is you need to go to that calendar and become familiar. If there's nobody that you know that you can ask in your community that's familiar with the process, you know, just go there and start educating yourself and educate your neighbors. One of the things that I was going to say, we have some photos that are on our page tonight, and I just wanted to go ahead and just have an overview of what those photos are. One of them is the picture of a space, and this space is like it's a gift from our community. Flossin Media has made it available to us to do our community workshops and community engagement programming. A lot of this is stuff that we've been doing for the last couple of years, but we're going to continue throughout 2016 at this space. And we're blessed because at the same time we're building a co-op for homeschooling. A lot of the parents whose children have been forced out of the education system through our PPS issues and others, they're going to be coming together under one space and just sharing the task of educating their children. And so we'll go ahead and talk more about that once that's established, but there's going to be some open house meetings coming up where we want your input on basically developing the outreach of the programming that will be available in this space. And so there's an event coming up, and we'll be talking about that on the show too. And Kendra, I hear you on the air. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you? I'm just tired.
I'm sorry?
I said I'm tired.
Oh, girl, I know. I was just talking about you and how you've been doing so much, and you know, how we need people like you to step up in our community and just help us continue to be motivated on the things that we need to do as activists out here on the front line. So
right.
How are you doing today, besides being tired? How was your day?
It was hot. I was digging up a lot of dirt.
Huh?
It was hard. I was digging up a lot of dirt.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. So did you find a couple of things that you wanted to bring up tonight as topics on the show? And I wanted to let you know that tonight's show, since it is the last of the month, I wanted to reclaim MLK and just do a recap on the dream, you know, a recap of this month's actions and our renewed focus towards the 2016 elections. And it's centering around economic, race, and solutions. So I wanted to talk mostly about things that are happening right now that we need to be focused on as far as talking to our politicians about. And so if there's any issues that you have that are happening, let me let you know 100% of the time they're political issues. You know what I'm saying? So don't think that the subject matter has to focus directly on a political theme situation. Everything's political. Okay, sis? So I just want to let you know that.
Okay. Okay. So what was the question again? Because you talked.
I know, girl. Yeah, I am long-winded, but check it out. Okay, so it was just basically, you know, what are some of the ideas that you had? Because remember, I said, go ahead and let me know some topics you'd like to discuss tonight on the show. And so you didn't send them over to me, so I'm saying now, you know, let's go ahead and let me know some of the things you wanted to bring up tonight on this show, if you have them. And if not, I have those other topics available.
Okay, well, can you do the other topics? Because I didn't even get a chance to do the topics that I wanted to do. Because
okay, cool.
I'm telling you, my arms are like jelly tonight.
Oh, wow. Shoot, I understand. Wow. Is there anything you need to just get off, period, personally, or what? You cool?
What? Let me think. You know what?
You need a soapbox, you got it. I'm sorry?
These teachers in the school. The teachers in the school are getting outrageous with how they're treating the kids. They're starting to be just as disrespectful as the kids.
Wow.
So... yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you saw this or not, but there was an editorial up on Facebook about a cost factor on a spreadsheet for our education through PPS. There was an editorial. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, I'm going to let our other caller get in on the line, too, okay, so that we can have a triple jewel on the air. Hi, caller.
Oh, hello?
Hey, caller, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. So, caller, did you hear what we were talking about before you got on the air?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Okay, so, tell me your thoughts on, you know, just a recap of this month's actions and, you know, our renewed focus towards the 2016 elections, and it's focused on economic race and solutions. What's your thoughts on some of the actions from this month? Adulting, reclaiming month.
I like the idea of promoting Reclaim King right before Black History Month, especially here in Portland, Oregon, where.
I'm just asking you a question. Do you understand that?
No.
Oh, so let me just hold it.
Try to quit playing with me.
Like, who is this? Girl. Oh, no,
were you talking to me or the caller?
Huh?
Were you talking to me or the caller?
No, I was just talking to anybody on the line. I'm trying to see if you guys had any interest in discussing tonight's topics, which is basically like, you know, like what is Reclaim King, what should that mean to a Black Lives Matter protester? Let me just throw that one out there. I'm sorry for not being on the host tonight. What does Reclaim King, what should that mean for Black Lives Matter protesters after this month? You know,
Reclaim
we
King.
Did a lot of protests and events this month, and I'm wondering, do people understand what our message was, and how does that tie into the whole Reclaim King focus? Do either one of you have a thought on that? Do you did you check out on the bar? Huh?
Can it be anything? Something that what I feel when you say it, Reclaim King.
Yeah, is there anything that's happening in the world now that would make you think that people are really trying to reclaim Martin Luther King and the dream?
There is, but there isn't, because there's a lot of people doing stuff and there's a lot of people not doing a lot of stuff. You know, there's people out there that got the money and the means to do what needs to be done or help out or whatnot, and they're not doing it. So,
yeah.
Reclaim King, we need to reclaim ourselves.
Yeah, and I know what you mean by a lot of people out there that are making it seem like they're doing stuff. Like, what do you mean, like the Al Sharptons and stuff, or, like, what do you mean?
Yeah, just all the people that has the means to do it, they're not doing it. They're sitting on their asses. Worried about
anything. And you know what, it's funny because when people like myself and yourself, when we ask for accountability in those matters, it seems that we're treated as if, you know, there's a retaliation that happens or there's some type of defensiveness that comes into play when you're asking for, like, an audit to find out why those with the means are not building solutions around our issues, you know, and asking for an audit is
simple. They don't give a damn.
I know. Because asking them for an audit is basically saying, okay, I understand you have funding for this, but let me see how it's being spent, and then let me see how it's being applied and how it's actually giving us an outcome that shows a measure of quantitative value for our children, like based on what you said it was used for. Like, let's see the statistics that show that it's actually working. Let's show the productivity. Let's see a shift in education. I barely glanced at an article earlier about the graduation rates shifting at Jefferson High School, but we know that they have that college program with PCC, and they utilize that as an opportunity to help the kids, and they're using GEDs as an opportunity to stay at the graduation. So that's not really helping, you know, like, come on.
No. Because what some people fail to realize is that a GED and a high school diploma is not equivalent of each other. With a high school diploma, people see, oh, she made it through. She tried her best. But you see somebody with a GED, and this was told by an employer to me. You know, you get your GED, we see you weren't committed in your schoolwork.
You couldn't have been hospitalized or sick or going through some family
exactly.
stuff, right?
But he basically told me that it shows that you were not committed. And it's not about being committed. There's a lot of stuff that people go through. It's not everybody can.
You know what's so funny to me is that someone would say that to a grown person. Because
exactly.
as a child, you could be not committed to a lot of things. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so it's a luxury to be able to graduate, but as we know that living in poverty, the numbers already are against you, and that's why a lot of times when I'm fighting our education system and upset about the way that the outcomes are, that's our only way out, you know? I'm thinking to myself
yeah.
that anybody that's investing in public safety or anybody that's investing in the economic growth of their community wants to invest in anti-poverty measures to help with solution building. You know, we have to use measures of work and social services as a bridge to economic value and growth. We can't use areas in poverty. Like, there's systems that keep you impoverished. Have you ever heard of somebody on Section 8 having to live under a certain amount of money or they lose their housing? How is that helping sustainable? How is that helping somebody grow? You got to continue to live in poverty in order to be eligible for the programming.
Right. You got to maintain your under eight thousand, or is it 800, or something like that. You got to stay under there.
Mm-hmm. And then you got to be afraid to have a relationship that might turn into a marriage or something, because you're increasing your household. So let's be mindful that we're looking to build equality. But living in poverty, you don't get to live in an equal basis. You can't live with a spouse or a you know.
you really can't.
Have your children living there if you don't have them on the lease. So that's not a good, you know, family planning solution. Not for long-term goals for family. It even invades on your privacy.
And what's so bad about it is, even if you try to do it their way, and put, because they let you know, they be like, if you want to put somebody else on the lease, just let us know. But then when you try to put them on the lease, that's when you get cut off.
Well, I'm just hoping that a lot of these organizations with means will go after measures of family planning that exceed the goals that we have right now with policy, as it appeals to those types of situations, because something has to appear. I'm thinking that we could sharply reduce homelessness if we looked at the policies within systems of housing that we have now, and we structure them around family building, you know, family solid, you know, transitional systems and things like that. Like, oh, yeah, your children can, you know, live with you until this age, but we want to make sure that they're ready for housing, so we need to put them through housing solution programming and things like that, because otherwise they're not getting ready. There's kids that are graduating from high school that don't know how to fill out applications for rent, because they're not learning anything in school except for the pass through the cultural programming. And I don't want to just put it on that, but I don't understand why nobody's catching them before they get out, you know, before you find, you know, like somebody has to realize
what you're saying.
Fifth grade can't read.
Right.
It can't be the uncle or the auntie meeting up there. The mom told us one day, saying, wait, my son can't read, or my daughter can't read, please. And it's really a lot of intimidation going on both ends, the children and the teachers in the class.
And that's purity and neglect. If a person goes through all these years and your mom or dad don't know whether you can read or not.
Yes.
That shows that you didn't do your parently duty, because once mine's got a certain age, that's, you know, one hit, you start singing the ABCs. You know, one, two,
well, that's one of the keys to trying to develop. It's something going on with your sound on your phone, where it sounded like you were talking into a pillow. Huh?
Oh, my bad. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, ma'am. It sounded like you were talking into a pillow. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was probably on the back of my phone. Sorry.
Okay. So, yeah, we're still here on Black Power Radio, and this is just a regular call-in talk show. We do talk radio, and we're talking about the Reclaim MLK Recap, hashtag the dream, and just basically wanting to see from both ends of the spectrum, from just a community member out at large to a community activist. If there's any of them listening on the line, we'd love to get your perspective on what you believe is happening right now in the world that would signify that people are reclaiming the dream of Dr. King. And one of the things that we focused on last month, Kendra, was Dr. King's mountaintop speech, you know, because a lot of things in that speech resonate with what's happening now. You know, it was during the strikes. For the garbage, you know, workers and all of the sanitation workers and everybody like that. But it was really like a big, you know, it was the night before he was assassinated, and it was like a big call to action, if you ask me. It wasn't, this is a summary of my work. He was basically telling people, like, I'm here, but this is a summary of your work. I'm just showing you direction. I'm not doing any of this for you. I haven't done a lot for you. I've been building direction and access. I've been building a blueprint. You know, that's kind of what it seems when I listen to it. And so when you hear that, you don't think, oh, somebody let me down. You say, oh, well, that's a lot of shoulders you know, I have the privy of stepping on, and what should I be doing with my time? You know, how do I reclaim the king dream and build it into the reality of our world, you know? And so I'm just hoping a lot of people are grasping that and realizing that, because there's been a lot of animosity between generations, and one of the things we talked about was trying to bridge those gaps as well so that we can figure out how to build together, you know? And I think if we focus on that, we'll look at what we have. I talked to one of my friends the other day, and, well, actually, I think I sent her a text, but she had sent me some information, and it was about some things that are happening in the community. And I said, let's just go ahead and focus on our blessings from here on out, because there's so many coming in. You know, instead of worrying about the things that we can't do anything about, let's focus on the things that we have in front of us that we need to be dealing with, or that we have the pleasure and luxury of dealing with, that can help sustain our community goals. So that's what I'm doing to Reclaim King. I'm not looking backwards. I'm looking forward.
No, you got to look forward.
Huh?
I said you got to look forward. Can't keep it past to hold you back.
Oh, absolutely. And I was excited about some of the things you were talking about this week about the economic values of our community and doing some entrepreneurial programming and stuff. Like, turn that down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I honestly think they need to do life skills with all the teens, because like you said, when they leave home, they don't know how to do applications and whatnot. They know how to fill out a job application. Well, some of them do.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have the space
now. Walk out the house not knowing nothing. Excuse me?
I'm sorry?
Oh, I said, excuse me, what did you just say?
Oh, no, I said we have the space now, so they can, you know, we can go ahead and start developing those programs. Right there, and we're not too far away from the Urban League and the Red Cross and other organizations like that. So it'll be good to just go in and introduce ourselves to the neighborhood. They have a new Seasons over there. There's a lot of businesses over on Fremont. And if what we're doing is going to be a benefit to the community, I think we need to make sure that we talk, you know, and do some outreach and, you know, even connect with the Boys Neighborhood Association and, you know, saving. You know, and just see what everybody's doing in your hospital, and just really integrate into the community so that we can use our access to resources to just empower people to start getting more engaged. What are some ideas that you have for the space? Because you remember, everything that we do is a community action plan, and not to go too far into detail, but what were some of the things that you would like to talk about at, like, the open house that we're planning right now? With community members, because I know that's something that was exciting for you, and I know you had a hard day.
Yeah. My whole thought about that is basically on the kids. I'm more focused on the kids, because as much as everybody thinks the parents are taking on a shitload, these kids are stressed out. I mean, really. I mean, all the stuff that's been going on and the way some teachers are starting to treat the kids and whatnot. I mean,
well,
I just want to do the kids.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Let's talk solutions. What are some of the things you think we should be doing in this?
Doing just different little activities for the kids, you know, stuff like, like, what is it called? Scrapbooking. I've done scrapbooking with my kids, and my kids love scrapbooking. Can you hear me good enough?
Yeah. I like when you talk more, though. Yeah, but craft working, and how about, like, a reading club?
Scrapbooking, you know, clay, working with clay, you know, because clay is good for, you know, stress.
Reading.
Definitely reading. Reading classes, reading class, and reading tutors and math tutors is definitely needed.
Well, that's what we got for the school anyway. You know, we got some really nice partnerships, and now with the space, we'll have a place for them to bring the curriculum But because we're going to be using it as a co-op space for homeschooling so that the parents don't have to have the children out of the social scene. They can come near and just share their little, you know, their planning programs and whatever they want to do so that the kids have a social atmosphere, because being pushed out is already humiliating in itself for the child, but it also creates anxiety around them going to the school and being around other students. I've seen that in a lot of the children where just going to the school to pick up their siblings becomes an issue of anxiety, like, oh, no, you know, they're going back in there.
Right. Wow.
Have you ever homeschooled?
No, but I've been wanting to. I don't. The schools are getting dangerous. I really want to homeschool, but I also have to work too, so I can't do it.
Yeah, it's the devil. Well, and a lot of the whole working and taking care of the kids and the families and living in an overpriced community is kind of a hardship when we talk about time, because where do you find the time for children to recognize if they know how to read and all these other things? I'm thinking that that would be something that would be visible in the classroom, and I'm wondering if these, like things like the core standardized testing and the amount of time that's spent on that, what do they call it, smarter choice or whatever, you know, that a lot of that time and even the time that it takes for the teachers to appropriate themselves to administer these tests, come on, please. That could be definitely spent on getting our kids graduating. Or at least just even a better successful outcome in school.
Damn it, my phone is there. Honey. Sorry, my phone's acting funny. I dropped it on his face yesterday.
Oh, okay, no problem. I was going to ask you, what are some of the things that you're looking forward to? I know that you've been doing a little research on some of the things we talked about on the last couple of shows that you were on with me. But have you, done a little bit more research on the candidates or anything like that? Have you kind of pulled in a focus on somebody that's leaning towards?
Have you
registered to vote in Oregon yet?
I'm registered to vote, but didn't get a chance to. I'm registered to vote here. A couple of months ago, I already did my papers, and I didn't get a chance to check up on anything because I got a lot of crazy stuff going on right about now. So,
yeah.
But so far, the only person I've really checked up on is the Bernie Sanders. Is that his last name, Sanders?
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, and so far I only know between him and Trump running. I don't know about anybody else, but I know I wouldn't go for Trump.
Oh, definitely not. Yes. Oh, goodness.
No, because you know what I heard? I heard one thing. I heard a conversation about something that he said. Now, he wants all the immigrants, the Mexican immigrants, to go back to where they came from. But he's married to a Mexican woman.
Oh, God. He don't know who he's married to. He marries beauty. Well, he's physical beauty. He don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, have you seen her? And I ain't trying to be like I'm not trying to be like, you know, a sexist or nothing like that, but I'm staring. The dude, who would marry him? Oh, goodness.
I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I could not
even
tell you because
I wouldn't. Is that the caller still on the line? Caller, are you still on the line?
No.
Oh, God. The other caller still on the line. Kendra got way on the line. Let me plug him out. So,
well, he never said anything. He said all a couple of words anyway.
Nah, he acted like he didn't want to be on the line.
Wow. What did he call for then?
Huh? I don't know.
What did he?
I thought he was trying to help me out because I was on the air by myself waiting for you to get on the line, and I didn't. You know how I get, girl. I'll hang up if I don't have a caller. Because I'm still trying to figure out the format. Like, me and Lori did a good show the other night. I like having her, you know, on the show and everything. She's dope, and she's out there doing a whole lot of stuff. And I know once you get some of your situations together, we'll be focused. And really, if we start doing it at the location, which I think is going to add to the value of the show, because we'll be able to sit there and just pre-record the shows on some of the nights and then just have live programming on other nights, you know? And then that way we'll be able to have a cleaner format. So, listeners, we're getting it together right now. We're just trying to figure it out, and we're just happy to have you guys listening in. Hopefully somebody will call in. You know, Kendra, what's the number here?
It's 516-666-9826.
Right on. Thank you.
That's 516-666-9826.
Right on. So, so you got any good plans for this week coming up?
For this week? No. Not this week. Just work. Just work, and I need to look up on a, I'm trying to figure out some other stuff, you know, to go with the, you know, with the things that we're doing.
Right.
And that's really on my head right there.
Right. Well, that's why I said, you know, some of the ideas, because I know one of the ideas that you had for inclusion at the first event was a vendor's village. And so when I was asking you about the economic parts of the Reclaim Dream, I was basically wondering, like, what are your thoughts about, you know, entrepreneurship, and what are some of the obstacles getting started as a black businesswoman, you know?
Because
you also
getting
have your own business in addition to working, and I'm wondering, like, what would be able to make it more possible for you to have what you're doing as a family business? What would make that more sustainable? What are some of the obstacles, too?
Yeah, well, the obstacle is paying for the place to be doing it, you know.
So you feel like the
that hurts a person in the pocket right there. Yeah.
Okay, so you know what I was thinking today? You know how a lot of these organizations give to all these foundations and all these different agencies? Why don't they just put money in community scholarships to help people start their own businesses, or to create their own systems of operation or foundational support, you know? Like, I think they should do more of that.
They should.
I think leaving the little out of the equation is perfect, because that gives people an opportunity to come straight to the source. And I know that sometimes the source doesn't want to have to do that partnership end of it, but I think that it adds to the diversity of their organization if they're funding agent. You know, they are always connected with the issue, because they're always a part of the solution it on, you know?
Yeah.
I think that, you know, with all the audits that we have in Oregon going on right now, I think that people need to ask legislators, and I'm always asking, and this is on the record, for new ways of doing distribution, especially through charities that are prone to charitable fraud or mismanagement or lack of accountability. Let's make sure that, you know, funds that are appropriated towards them by big foundations are rerouted into organizations that have the privy or are willing to build systems for direct distribution to community. Because grassroots organizations, a lot of times, Kendra, one of the things that we're most closest to is the people we know, and then we kick them for being down, because they can't help us. But the thing is that if they're that accessible to us, usually they don't have what they need to help everybody that has access to them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because, man, we'll always go to Auntie so-and-so because she know everything and expect her to get something done immediately, and it's hard. And so I think, like, as a community, when we focus forward and we start thinking about solutions, let's think about not being so hard on ourselves and each other, you know? Let's think about, you know, building stronger ties and appreciating each other a little bit more and the gifts that we individually bring to the table that are a collection value.
Yeah, I wish it was easy said than done, though.
No, it's intentional if you want it to be. You know what I'm saying? A lot of us have these ego issues. We just need to drop that because it's not good for us right now. We can't handle it.
Right. I know I can do it. But it's these other people. I see people.
You got to be doing good to have the ego. You got to be doing good to have an ego. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, you just something wrong with you. You're a goofball. And some people think doing good is where they're at. They don't have a thought to be somewhere else. They think that where they are is, like, fantastic. No. Fantastic was, like, 5 years ago.
Right.
When you get to
right.
You know what I'm saying? You was like, damn, I thought fantastic was the thing. What happened? You know, should it get supernatural pretty soon? If you're going right, you won't believe where you at. Yeah, shoot. I just saw my friend Benji Gao made a post in Free Hot Soup. And people need to support local organizations. So if you guys have a shout-out to a local organization or movement that's doing, like, supernatural things in our community, I think that we need to make sure that we keep them focused on this show and that we voice them to the masses, because if 684 people can listen to Free Hot Soup, they might help us create policy that will make Free Hot Soup something that won't get swept up every time the police feel like they don't want people receiving free food. Right now we have with misaccommodating access to spaces. We want to make sure that we don't continue that trend. My friend Jesse Stomberg is running for mayor, and I'm going to his event tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Shout out to him. I'm going to need the transportation support. Jesse, excited to see you tomorrow. Been checking out the pages, man. You're doing good. Everybody, like I said, think local as well as national. If we think about Bernie Sanders and Trump, and we don't think about, Bomberg, and I don't know who else might be on this level right now, you know, but if we think about people like him in our community that's running for office, then we'll be where we need to be. So, reclaim the MLP, recap the drink. Give us a call if you would like it. Kendra, what was that number again?
It's 516-666-9826. That's 516-666-9826.
Okay, cool. Hey, I wanted to say I'm going to be on this little program. Let me see if I can find the flyer. But there's a thing at De La Salle High School that's coming up. And, it's not going to be there, but the students have invited me to be on a panel for police accountability. Oh, God, let me find this flyer. It's beautiful. It's pretty long, but I was like, oh. I'm like, it's cool to have the colleges call you, but we're already working with those students. When the high school students ask you to be a part of something, it's like really super incredible. If I can find it real quick. So, Kendra, you can keep on talking while I'm looking for that.
Okay, sorry, my phone was acting funny again.
Heck yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I got this information on
the way.
I think I'm in.
Yeah. Hello. I was being interrupted.
Oh, no problem. I was going to go ahead and give the information about the event on police brutality. Yes. A pretty big trial. I'm just waiting for it to come up. I'm scared. I don't know. Okay, so let me read. what they said it's about. So, these kids are smart. So, this is actually, okay, so, students from Calvin Gable are working on this project, and they are taking a class called Crime and Punishment, and that examines the principles of the U.S. justice system from mass incarceration to capital punishment to police violence. We just finished our unit on policing, and to finalize this unit, we are all working on projects that somehow encapsulate our learning to fulfill this requirement. Encapsulate our learning, and then there should be, oh, there's period. Okay, to fulfill this requirement, I am taking a more unconventional approach and working with my classmates to put on an event that aims to display a multitude of perspectives on the state of policing in Portland. I love these students. The goal of the event will be to educate people on different perspectives on policing through a question and answer session with panelists. Now, the overall topic of the event will be force, and more specifically, the use and misuse of force by the Portland Police. The polarizing nature of the debate surrounding the use of force often causes people to hear only one viewpoint, and that's that, one viewpoint at a time. They feel that the Portland community would benefit from a more open dialogue brought from their panel discussion in order to acknowledge the problems caused by police abuse of force, but also to try to understand the perspective of the police. They are inspired by the work of the Don't Shoot Portland movement, and they feel that a representative will help bring a valuable perspective to share with others. And so, yeah, they invited me to be that person, and I'm excited. And there's a whole lot more on this. But it takes on Thursday, February 4th. Now, save the date. Now, these are students from Calvin Gable. You know, and so I'm not going to say their name on the radio, but that's dope. You know, all the words that I just said were their words that they sent to me, their sentences and everything. So, I mean, you know, like our future is bright. The event will take place on Thursday, February 4th, at the Play Center in North Portland, 3510 North Vancouver Avenue, from 5 p.m. to 7:30. Refreshments will be provided at the beginning. Now, please reply to this email. Okay, so that's from them a long time ago. And so you got the information. Thursday, February 4th, 2016, at the Play Center in North Portland, 3510 North Vancouver Avenue, 5 to 7:30. The thing about that is that basically there's only space for like 40 people there. So you got to get there really early. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think there's a Facebook. Yeah. And I'll go ahead and post that on the Don't Shoot Portland page so that they can have it on there. Okay. They give us permission to promote the event. So everybody just, I'm excited. So Kendra, that's exactly what you were just talking about. You were like, we want to get from the kids. We need to be hearing from the children directly about their perspectives on all of this. So how do you feel about students putting that together as part of their ongoing programming for crime and punishment? How do you feel about that being a class?
Wait. What being a class? Can you repeat that last part?
How do you feel about punishment and crime being a class and that the students are already putting together their own panels?
Punishment and crime being a class?
Yeah, it's a class. It's a program or a class that they're taking in their school. And it's focused on police accountability and brutality and policing solutions. And the students are going through these programs, so they're bringing those. I mean, they're the targeted market. If you look at the people who are being stopped and harassed is usually young people. So for them to be in a position to start building solutions through educational programming, I don't know.
That is a good idea. Yeah. All of them should take it because they really do harass the kids. It's either harassing the kids or the homeless. Yeah, because I've seen something. Can I tell this one little story?
Oh, girl, this is Black Power Radio. You can say anything you like.
Okay, so I was at the Mac stop one day, and, you know, I smoke cigarettes, so I was smoking a cigarette on the panel, and I never bothered to read the sign, like, do not smoke, you know, or anything. I don't never bother to read the sign unless it has the best numbers on it. But I had lit a cigarette up, and there was this homeless dude that asked me could he get one of my
cigarettes. I can't hear you.
There was a homeless dude that asked me could he get one of my cigarettes. So I was like, okay, yeah, here. So I gave him a couple of my cigarettes while I was smoking. And then all of a sudden I seen the police, and the police started pointing. So I sort of figured he was talking about my cigarette. So I put my cigarette out right. And then he made a U-turn, and he came back around. And he said something to me about my cigarette, and, you know, I told him I put it out, right? But
mm-hmm.
The homeless that asked me, could he get a couple of my cigarettes, hadn't even lit a cigarette up, you know? And the police harassed him, took him over to the side, gave him a ticket. Me and another person that was standing at the bus stop was like, he didn't even have a cigarette lit. Why are you messing with him? And he didn't have no reason. He just continued to give him a ticket, thinking, you know, what are you giving him a ticket for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he didn't do anything. I was the one with the lit cigarette. I even told him, yeah, I put my cigarette out. So it's like,
oh my God.
Hated me when it happened, you know, because everybody seems to think that a lot of these
don't
people
know
are bad
wrong.
People.
Huh?
They all seem to think, a lot of people be thinking that a lot of the homeless people are bad people, and they're not.
They're not. I was going to say, it's something going on with the way you're talking into the phone to where your voice sounds far away.
Yeah, I cracked my phone in the face yesterday. It just dropped off the car.
Oh, no, no problem. I'm sorry. Dang, don't catch yourself with that. Dang.
I'm getting a new phone tomorrow. I got an upgrade going on. So it's going to be a whole lot better.
So what was the last part you said about what happened to our homeless brother after he got the cigarettes from you? Because I couldn't hear you.
Oh, my bad. So you can hear me now better?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so what part did you last hear?
Oh, no, I just didn't hear what happened to him. You were telling me that eventually he said that even though he never even fired one up, and then I didn't hear nothing else.
Oh, yeah.
It got real cold.
But the police dude just continued to harass him, and he still gave him a ticket, you know? This was even after I told him that I had my cigarette lit. He still gave him a ticket for having his cigarette lit.
Mm-mm-mm.
And he hadn't even lit up anything.
I'm sorry.
Excuse me?
I almost forgot I was on the radio, girl. I got ODD. Yeah. I'm sitting here like, balls on my bed. Excuse me, listeners. Yeah, I'm sorry, Kendra. You were saying, I'm sorry.
No, that just really bothered me that he did that, though. I mean, and I've seen it in a lot of cops, you know. And they come off standoffish in the first place.
You know, and it's funny that, like, our police commissioner, which is also our mayor, is going to be having a meeting to kind of follow up from some events that happened during Reclaim King. And I'm hoping that he's meeting with all the groups involved. You know, I'm hoping that he's focusing on the collective rather than singling out, because last year in January or February, we had that same issue with people in his office. Grasping at who they felt they wanted to motivate towards a solution, and kind of utilize that as a way to divide us, because we know that once you get stronger as far as resources, you don't depend on the collective as much, and the collective continues to depend on you. So it's like, you know, when you're building based on a collective effort, resources usually flow.
everybody tries to figure out how to help everybody create the sustainability, and especially in something that's organic and grassroots and comes from a collective measure. You know, the movement that we have locally came mostly from collective movement. You know.
Yeah.
It's amazing. That they're just off of it, you know.
Yeah.
I bring you to the table. Huh?
Ooh. Exciting. Excuse me?
Are you supposed to?
I'm still here. My child is asking, could she talk?
Oh, okay. Let's go ahead and hear you, the voice on the air.
What did you have to talk about?
I just want to say, people who are listening to this radio are, I don't know. I just wanted to say something. I'm on radio.
I'm going to interview her. I'm an interviewer. We can do some real talk on Blog Talk Radio. This is Black Power Radio. Go on, Spencer.
Okay, so how are you going to interview me?
Hi. Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you questions. What's your name? And what grade are you in? Just first name.
My name is Eshine Griffin, and I'm in fifth grade.
Right on.
Oh, and I'm 11.
And you're 11 years old. Right on. And what are some of your hobbies?
I like to play football, basketball, and gymnastics, and cheerleading.
Right on. Oh. That sounds so fun. You have a lot of energy?
Yes.
Do you consider yourself a leader?
Yes.
Right on. I like that. Right on. Yay. Okay, so what are some of the things that you're doing? Like, so you know that your mom is into social justice now. She's on Black Power Radio. And so you know that we're trying to build an event to help bring our community together. What are some of your ideas about what that event should look like?
I think it should look beautiful and fun, and there should be lots of kids being there, and there should be lots of fun things.
Oh, yes, beautiful. Do you have any ideas? Like, I know you said you wanted to do some dancing and you were going to get some friends together. What's the name of your dance club or your team?
My dance team is G6.
It's called what?
G6.
Oh, G6. Right on. Right on. And so that's awesome. And how many people are involved in your team?
Six people.
Did you want to do any shout-outs to your friends?
Yeah.
Your mom will be able to play this later, so.
Is any of Yandora, Corey, and that's all. If you hear me, then I want to say, hey, I'm on radio, like, hey.
I remember when you said you wanted to get involved in helping promote the event and plan some of the programs as well. You said, I have friends that are interested in Black Lives Matter. What do your friends think about, what do you think about Black Lives Matter?
I think it's good and it should be, it's cool, and I don't know what else.
Do you think that what you learned about Dr. King, do you think it's kind of the same stuff?
Yes.
You do? Right on. Right on. Well, we're talking about Reclaim MLK. Which means that we want our generation. It means that your generation and our generation are going to work together to reclaim Dr. King's dream.
We should.
We should, huh? Right on. Well, it's time. That's what we're doing. So I'm just happy that you're calling on the line and that you wanted to say anything. Is there anything else that you wanted to say to listeners?
Nope.
Okay, well, right on. Well, keep your head up, okay?
Okay, bye.
All right, thank you for being on.
You're welcome.
That was beautiful.
Hello.
Hey, Kim. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, she's amazing. Right on. So even if her friends aren't logged on right now, at least you can share the show with them later on. So I would just say, maybe we won't talk no more.
I sort of figured when we make the flyers, we'll put the radio station on there too.
Oh, absolutely, because it's really just the link. I think I can make a short link too, because nobody wants to put in all those numbers and letters. I'm like, I don't even know. Right. I just copy and paste. But we'll get a short link. I'm trying to figure out my friend's home. He hit me up and asked about applications, making apps. So if anybody that's listening is into making apps, go ahead and shoot us an email to don'tshootportland@gmail.com, and I'll get that over to Tony the Bishop out there in Las Vegas, Nevada. He's looking to get an application made. Sounds like he's really ready. I love my bro. He's cool. He's on it. He's a blog talk masterpiece. I'm serious. Like, he was doing good stuff. Like, I think it was 2007, 2008. And I'm just now checking this platform out. Like, what's wrong? We should be radio host by now, you know? Like, he's been on it for a while. And I think this platform is cool right now for us as, you know, just people that use social activism. And we need the medium as a form and a vehicle to carry our voices. I'm not a professional radio host, so listeners, please don't even try to, you know, to compare me with no Hot 97 and nothing like that. It's not happening, ever.
We'll get better later on.
It doesn't matter how good I get, you know. I'm not going to be like, you know, he's just in them.
Just be yourself anyway. I mean, shoot, that's the only thing we can be. I don't want to be fake on the radio.
I mean, it's talk radio, so we can talk about what we want to talk about. I'm hoping that people will continue, like, next week will be, like, starting tomorrow, I think, actually. We'll be going into the space over there in North Portland, Northeast, and we'll just build a big giant calendar and put our events on there. Earlier this month, I had pre-made the episodes online, but I didn't pre-record them. But I'm thinking there with the acoustics, as great as the space is, that we might just take up the upload button and just do some direct air recording, you know, and
Right. Shoot
it out. That way, you know, that way we can get
I'm excited to get stuff ready for, you know, being there for, you know, being there doing the radio show.
I think it's going to be a blessing to our community. I think it's a serious blessing, and I think that we can work it out through community partnerships. I know that Mr. Washington has great relationships within the community, and I think by making the space available, that we can reach out to people to help make it sustainable. And I don't think we have a problem right now, but I just want to make sure that it's a long-term effort. I don't like being uprooted. And right now, with, like, the court and all this other stuff going on, we can't be jumping around spaces, you know? I think that we can just go ahead and do some cool stuff that's not too much, get some self-help, you know, time in there. I'm excited about everything with Safaria. I'm hoping I'm saying that right, but that organization stands like super dope right now. So I'm kind of excited about that on some levels of opportunity for activism. I'm excited about all these youth and the programs that they've invited me to. I'm also a Rough Rider. I got a nomination and an award from Roosevelt High School students. And there's an event that's coming up on February 15th from that, at the Oregon Historical Society. Let me pull that up real quick. That's going to be amazing. I'm just like, you know.
When is that?
Oh, girl, when it's coming up in February.
I want to be there.
It's going to be beautiful. There. Oh, my goodness, it's beautiful. I was there last year at a book signing for their Christmas holidays. It was a year before now because I was too busy protesting this. So I didn't get an opportunity to do the part I was supposed to.
Right.
On that organization.
Is Michael going to come up? Isn't that his name from Black Rose Books?
I don't know.
Yeah,
the kids have been on. I don't know. He should. I don't know.
We don't need books.
Mhm. I know. Let them know. I'm a post dirty parent because they need community support.
Yeah.
I've been with them a lot, and you know, the kids are working hard. The program director, Kate McPherson, she's working her tail off. You know, Renee Mitchell's been hooking them up, taking care of everything. Unique Ink is the name of their publishing company. The book I'm in is called Generation, and Kendra, I wrote about our family, Auntie Deborah, Uncle Randy, Auntie Cruz, Grandma,
wow.
And Anita. Yeah, because I came home and I was just tripping off of everybody, and then they were asking me to write stuff. I was like, why are people interested in who I am? And I guess it was because they was like, whoa, she just talking, she's telling people something, coming out here cussing people out like she knows stuff. Oh, you from here? I was like, yeah, what's the problem? And I was like, well, people that's not from here have been telling y'all what to do. I was like, oh, that ain't going to work. And as a matter of fact, the people that ain't going to tell us what to do either. Ain't none of y'all really rolling with us, or we wouldn't be doing so bad. So excuse me, you know, like it's
right.
Not any time to take you for but Kate was cool. She brought the children. So I was like, okay, you know, they trying to find out what's wrong. You know, a lot of them that live in North Portland didn't even know. They had never been to Northeast Portland. They didn't know half of their families. And so I got to see both sides of gentrification. I got to see how, like, our family was dealing with it with not having grandma centered in Northeast Portland. To, you know, children out there that hadn't even seen their dad's side of family at all. So it's not just missing grandma, it's not half one. Or, you know.
She was the glue.
Yeah, well, you know, that whole generation, that whole blue generation is not the culture that we have today.
No, it's not.
And so
because nowadays, all the kids are fighting like they're not even related. I mean, they treat each other like enemies. Yeah.
You want to deny that too. They don't know that they they don't know that they relate half the time until they meet each other at a funeral.
Right.
You know?
Or they be walking down the street and, hey, this is my new friend. No, that's your cousin. Yeah, cause I wanna. They had a little get together at the park during this summer, and hardly anybody came. I mean, hardly anybody came. And my whole thing was, me and the kids had just got back from Fargo, and I was hoping to see everybody, and nobody came. Like they don't care. Yeah, it was like both sides, Moaning, Johnson, Payton's. We were trying to invite all. And some of them are talking about we should all just get together and stick together. And I think that, too. You know, they all grew up together. We need to stick together. Everybody's falling apart and sad.
Well, that's how it is now. Everybody lives all over the place and the family don't communicate. And then, like I said the other day, you know, coming home, like from North, from Fargo or from Texas or something like that, you don't know who's talking to who half the time. But I think it's happening everywhere. You know, it's not just one family, it's a lot of them. It's part of the harm, the social and physical and emotional trauma that goes through with the whole displacement issue. You know? Well, let me go ahead and tell you. I'm gonna read the announcement from the students at Roosevelt, and I'm gonna go ahead and just read what it says here. The Freedom Fighter was provided an abundance of acknowledgement. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. Dear Freedom Fighters, because so many students have been involved with the Freedom Fighter Project, this year we will have two receptions on February 17th at the Oregon Historical Society. Below is the agenda for your time at the museum. Please take note and accurately put it on your calendar so you arrive on time. it's very important that you're here or have someone here to represent you and your work, because students will be honoring each of you and giving you a copy of their book as a portrait and a portrait. Please let me know ASAP if you need to have someone represent you to confirm that you can attend. Whoa, this is really important. If you go to the Freedom Fighters exhibit for these students, oh my goodness, I'm going to give you the correct .org, but it's amazing. They put us on exhibit. Like, there's big old giant mobile exhibits that travel to Washington, D.C. that these students have put together that are full color with, like, their kids. So I'm one of them this year, and that's amazing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the times are Wednesday, February 17th from 6:45 to 8:30. And that's when the exhibit gathering, the Freedom Fighter book and poster presentations and photos, 7:46 to 8:30. So beautiful. Beautiful.
Right.
Wow. So that's two of them. That's two high school student groups putting things together to help make their community move forward. That shows you that the future is bright.
It is. It really is.
And they have to step on shoulders. You know what I'm saying? They're doing it in a very good way. I got interviewed by these students, and I was amazed at the research they did on who I was and what they knew. And I was like, wow. The depth of their perception of things, you know? It was like they really got into the project. It was amazing.
Right. I wish I would. See, I be missing out on stuff, don't I?
But you're taking this stuff forward by even just being a community partner on this activism tip, because we call it a community action plan. And so if community's not involved, it's really not a plan. You know, it's really not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, I don't have it right now. That's gone. Oh.
Oh. I was, you know what, I was trying to get, because remember you said you wanted some up-and-coming local artists. You know, local artists, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to do that, and so far there was one person I was trying to get to do that, and you know, I haven't got a phone call, no nothing. It's like I'm being totally ignored.
You talking to me like we're talking regular. This is a radio show. You give people acknowledgement when they answer the phone, and then you let everybody know who's on the bill. We just conceptualized the event 2 days ago. We don't have the artist. We'll talk to Ronnie about that. He'll do the booking for us.
Right.
That's the least of our worries. Community involvement is the biggest value that we can get out of this space. And so we're looking for community to show up at the open house. And I was asking, basically, you know, what are some of the ideas? I know you were wanting to go ahead and reach out to vendors like Michael Hicks and, you know, different people that have vendor business, you know, entrepreneur, black businesses.
Yeah, definitely.
So you can just basically, you know.
Yeah.
Describe what you're talking about doing, the vendor tabling and all that, what we talked about.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I guess that's why you big cousin, because you know how to do things a whole lot better.
Oh, no. We do it the same, girl. I was just saying, we don't want to. My whole thing is, in order to build black power, we can't keep wondering why people don't believe in the same things we believe in, or why they don't have opportunities. We know why. You know, when you're talking to them that they've been defeated and that they don't believe that you have an opportunity that's going to lead to anything. Everybody knows that. Even when they go into a job where they know they're going to get paid, they don't believe that the opportunity. And when I say they, I'm talking about 90% here in America.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes, yeah, so yeah. Yeah. So hey, I was gonna say, I think tonight's show is cool. We don't have to do a full 2 hours. I'm gonna go ahead and get ready for tomorrow, because we're gonna have the first day at that meeting. Did you have any other thoughts on the Dr. King dream, reclaim thing? I don't want to even talk about any protests right now, because I couldn't even handle the last one.
Hey, I just want to keep his dream alive and keep us alive while we're at it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the only thing I can say is that if activists want to go ahead and use the theme of Reclaim King to empower their movement, listen to the mountaintop speech the night before he was assassinated. Listen to that speech. Use it as a blueprint. That power. And do what you can in your community. Work with those that are ready. Don't try to force it on anybody, because then that's just going to make them scare everybody away from you. And that's not going to help you when you're on the front line sitting at the table. So thank you, listeners. Thank you, Kendra.
You are Barb.
I'm figuring out how to lock off.
Black Lives Matter.
Uh-oh. Got it. All right, so, yeah, Kendra, thanks again for logging on with me tonight, okay?
You're welcome.
Okay, thanks, Kendra.
Good night.